This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 30th at 10:32 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like the Trump trial jury deliberation clocks on CNN and Fox News will match. Right now, they're off by about 20 minutes. Maybe Fox and CNN are monitoring two different juries. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who are dragged to a special legislative session but refuse to pass any new laws. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, it looks like Ohio voters will get the chance to vote for Joe Biden for president if they choose. But it has been a torturous process to get there. But first, speaking of President Joe Biden, he continues to struggle in national polls. The national polls show President Biden and former President Donald Trump basically tied, with Trump holding a very narrow lead in national polls. In the swing states, President Trump leads Joe Biden in five of the six states Biden won in 2020. Many credit or blame Biden's polling troubles on, at worst, a lack of support, or at best, a lack of enthusiasm among young voters, in particular, young progressives who supported him in 2020. Now, of course, Ohio right now is not considered a swing state, but it has its share of young voters and its share of young Democrats. So this week, we thought we'd invite one of them onto the podcast to hear her thinking. And joining us is Kim Adjicum. She serves as president of the Ohio Young Democrats. Kim, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're on the ground trying to mobilize folks, trying to get them enthused about this election. What is the level of excitement among young Democrats here in Ohio?
I've got to say a lot of the national folks like to talk about the enthusiasm or whatever they call the lack of. I will say amongst our more active young Dems, people are really fired up about not just Joe Biden, but about the Democratic candidates we have up and down the ballot this year. Mm-hmm. So they're really active. And I know that a lot of our chapters are preparing for a summer of mobilization. And we have just seen an uptick in interest in figuring out how to get folks that might not be as plugged in politically ready to vote this fall. You know, if there's any precursor to how people are feeling, I definitely would say the enthusiasm that I've seen, especially since I have taken over, has jumped up. And that this fall, while we do understand that it will be a task to communicate with young voters this year, that we can definitely get that mobilization effort going.
Yeah, there are some polling numbers to back up this, you know, we'll call it lack of enthusiasm, lack of being plugged in. A CNN poll in April found that Trump leads voters between the ages of 18 and 34 by 11 percentage points. That same poll showed that 68% of young voters see President Biden's presidency as a failure. The Harvard poll around the same time shows Biden's support among voters under the age of 30 has slipped from 60% in 2020 to 45% this go around. That has to be concerning, right? I mean, it is early. We have, you know, less than 6 months to go, but that has to be concerning.
Yeah, that is concerning, you know, hearing polls like that, of course. But I will say that there is a sensationalization piece to that all. Look, the election is a long ways away at this point. And as we've seen with past cycles, especially since 2016, our polls are just not as accurate as they used to be. And I think that they've undersold numerous candidates up and down the ballot across recent election cycles. President Biden, you know, I think that those who want to say his presidency has been a failure, of course, open to criticism, and, you know, no administration is perfect. But I think young people have felt the success of the Biden presidency from the CHIPS and Science Act which here in Ohio is going to bring Intel to Columbus and just have a rapid population growth that we're going to see over the next decade. And the people who are going to be moving here are going to be recent college grads. And the people who are going to, you know, be staying here are grads even from, you know, OSU and states across the state. So we, you know, here in Ohio, as we were seeing an Asian population, an aging population, those kind of policies, and there's more to name, but for that one example right there, I think you can feel the direct effects of the Biden presidency in a positive way for young voters.
Yeah, the president also points to the low unemployment rate. It's the lowest in quite a number of years. But the problem is inflation, of course, and prices have stopped rising as fast as they were rising. But if you look at the numbers, prices are up just about 19% since the president took office. Food prices are up 21% since he took office. Now, wages are up 14%, so that's the good news, but it's still behind the 19 and 20. How big of a issue is inflation and sort of the ground level economy, not the macro economy like the Intel project, but what folks are paying every week in groceries, what they're paying at the gas pump, and what they're paying in rent? How much of that is weighing on their minds this election season?
That is weighing on the minds of young voters and, you know, folks of all ages, of course. And there, that is something that folks will be, of course, considering when they go to the ballot. Keep in mind that there have been cost-saving efforts by this administration that have been blocked by Republicans and thwarted by Republicans. Take, for example, Biden's student loan debt forgiveness program. He had a plan that he laid out at the beginning of his administration that would have given relief to folks like me, folks like the young folks, all folks all across the country, that was thwarted by GOP actors.
The Supreme Court threw it out.
Prompted by and constantly condemned by, the GOP. Even to this day, nearly 4 million people have had their student debt forgiven. He's decided to push through. And there's still a way to go. But again, I think folks need to take a look and see who's actually blocking us from trying to get these, you know, these more micro to help us here at this level. It's the Republicans that are blocking the economic growth of entire generations, not Biden.
Another issue that's come up certainly in the last 6 or 7 months is the war in Gaza, and some young progressives criticize President Biden for his support of Israel and how it has fought the war in Gaza. They criticize him for not cutting off arms shipments to Israel. Biden has taken a bit of a tougher stand in recent weeks, but still a lot of progressives are unhappy about that and are threatening to protest the convention in Chicago and to, at the very least, stay home. I'm not sure they'd vote for Trump, but they might stay home in November. What's the feeling in your peer groups and young Democrats you talk to about the war in Gaza and how big of a factor that'll be in the election?
Yeah, activism in support of the Palestinian people shows how committed young people are to building a better world for our neighbors here and obviously across the globe. Young people are seeing the bloodshed in Gaza firsthand through their phones and, of course, calling it out, crying out about this. I think that amongst our groups, a Trump presidency does not end the bloodshed. And it doesn't, you know, I think even further the conversation. I think that's something that we all understand. Mm-hmm. I don't think young people think that a Trump presidency is the solution here. We'll consider that when we get to November.
But if they stay home, is that not a vote for Trump? They may not vote for Donald Trump, but they may say, I'm not voting for Joe Biden.
I think that them staying home is obviously not beneficial to the Biden campaign. And I think that, you know, they will consider what I think young voters will consider what a Trump presidency actually means when we get to the ballot box and weigh their options then.
Now, Kim, you're also African-American. There's been a lot of talk about how Joe Biden is struggling to connect with the African-American vote. Is that the case? Joe Biden must be concerned because this whole week has been focused on, you know, he gave a speech at Morehouse College. He's talked to the NAACP in Detroit and D.C. And he's got a new ad running out, really, really tough on Donald Trump as far as his approach to race issues. How big of a concern is that for you and other young Democrats and folks trying to get the president reelected?
Joe Biden is going to do the work to earn the black vote. As you mentioned, we've seen him begin to campaign this week heavily to highlight the work that he has done for Black America. And he is going to continue to earn that vote through this campaign. And that's why he's directly going to Morehouse, going to Philadelphia to talk with Black voters. Here in Ohio, we have groups that are doing the work and that we get the chance to collaborate with. Our sister organization, the Ohio Young Black Democrats, and their chapters have been doing the work. And I know that they have intense plans this year to engage Black voters in our urban core areas. So Joe Biden is clearly going to continue to campaign heavily to get the Black vote, obviously, especially Black women. But Black voters are the bedrock of the Democratic Party. And obviously when Black people turn out, Democrats win. So they understand that and they will be campaigning heavily to ensure that we have high Black turnout. But there are also Black Democrats in this space that are doing the work and serving as messengers and validating Joe Biden. It is not just a silo that is working on this. There is an entire ecosystem coming together to ensure that Black voters deliver for Joe Biden this year.
You know, 4 years ago this week, there were protests here in Columbus, all across the country, because George Floyd had just been murdered, and the videotape of that murder had come out, and that, of course, started an intense examination of racial justice in this country. Has President Biden done enough on that front?
I remember 4 years ago when all of this, when exactly what you're talking about. I think that when we are looking at where we were 4 years ago, where I was personally getting pepper sprayed, and I wasn't here in Ohio at the time, but and actually in DC by Trump Secret Service. And we look at, how the discourse was from the administration versus now, where folks might not be completely satisfied with where the conversation has been now, but there has been progress. And there is a lot more progress that we can work on. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have a better conversation with a president like Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, who has already told us exactly what he's going to do in his Project 2025 plan once he ascends to the presidency again. So there is dissatisfaction, and of course, criticism is valid for the administration. But this is an administration that we can actually have a conversation with and push the ball forward.
Just a couple more questions. How big a threat? How attractive is Robert F. Kennedy to young voters? The independent candidate?
He's a joke. He really is. But
18% of voters under 30 support him, according to a New York Times poll earlier this week.
And we are talking about this in May 30th of 2024.
Yes.
I think when we have serious voters go to the ballot box, weren't we just talking about having a worm in his brain a few weeks ago? This isn't someone that I think young people would take as a serious alternative to Joe Biden.
One final question, and I'm burying the lead here.
Oh, gosh.
The president is 81 years old, and many people think that's the at the root of why young people, and why a lot of voters in particular, but why young people in particular are not excited by Joe Biden. And they may not like Donald Trump, but they see Joe Biden as being too old to serve another 4 years in the White House. How do you tell your wavering progressives that Joe Biden is not too old?
Well, I'm not going to lie and say that, you know, Joe Biden is not one of, is not the oldest candidate that we have had. What I will say, and I think that is more, is young voters have are more substantive than needing to attach themselves to like who's the flashiest candidate. Joe Biden has had many wins that young voters care about that go deeper than the fact that he is just old. As I mentioned a couple before, you know, he has shown a lot of progress with the issues that we care about. He has had huge wins for the environment. He is one of the most pro-union, pro-worker. He is the most pro-union, pro-worker president that we've had. He has done great advancements on our infrastructure. Again, you know, here in Ohio, we have the Brent Spence Bridge down in Cincinnati with Kentucky. Obviously, we have the replacement of the lead pipes that are happening across Ohio, and that's leading to jobs for young people. And these are good paying union jobs, which are providing opportunities for the young workforce here in Ohio. So is Biden old? Yes. Has he delivered wins that are actually answering the root of what young people want? Yes. And that's what are going to drive people to vote for him, not just the fact that he's an older candidate. Biden's not also not the only reason people are going to the polls this year. We have obviously the most important Senate race in the country with Senator Sherrod Brown's reelect. And we have candidates across Ohio that are driving people like Paloma De La Fuente, who is an 18-year-old wanting better for her classmates in Perrysburg, who's running for state Senate. Or Crystal Lett, who's running right here in Columbus, in Central Ohio, for the state house. So these are also candidates when people are looking for, you know, that young representation that they look to in the president. They're looking for real policy matters that address the things they care about.
Kim Adjikam, president of Ohio Young Democrats, thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
Thanks so much for having me.
We will check in with you again as this campaign goes, because I'm sure it's going to be, all predictions are it's going to be close, and it may come down to these young voters. So it'd be good to get your take on where they stand.
For sure.
We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Well, as of right now, President Biden remains off the ballot in Ohio. But to be completely fair and accurate, so does Donald Trump. Well, it's all because of deadlines, of course. Neither man can make the ballot until he is officially nominated by his party. Donald Trump's nomination is set for July 18th, well before Ohio's ballot deadline of August 7th. So presumably, he's good. Biden's convention nomination would come on August 19th, 12 days after the deadline, which is why he is in jeopardy of not making the ballot. In the past week, in a rare use of his bully pulpit, Governor DeWine ordered lawmakers back to Columbus to fix the problem, which they have done. Now, they have fixed this problem before without controversy in two past election cycles. Well, lawmakers have gathered in Columbus. They have met. But alas, they have not agreed on anything. The state Senate has passed a bill that would also ban foreign contributions to issue campaigns in addition to extending the deadline. The House has not acted on that bill, so we don't know where that stands. But here's the good news for Democrats and Joe Biden. The National Democrats say they will nominate Joe Biden before the convention via Zoom so he would meet the Ohio deadline of August 7th. So, problem solved, we think, but stay tuned. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. And this week it goes to Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, who this week was ranked the least bipartisan member of Congress. The Lugar Center at Georgetown University says out of 436 members, Jordan came in 436th, edging out New York's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. No doubt both members will use their illustrious ranking in fundraising emails saying they don't compromise with the other party. By the way, Ohio's most bipartisan rep is Republican Dave Joyce, so congratulations to him. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends and family and neighbors all about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I am Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.